If you would, be turning in your Bibles to Galatians, the 6th chapter. In just a moment, I'll be taking a look at the first 10 verses there, in Galatians chapter 6. I'll just say how much I appreciate the job that is being done by the members here, those that are been active in telling their friends and co-workers and others about the gospel meeting. Being here a part yourself, those that have taken an active part in the worship service thus far, those that lead singing or offering prayers, it does so much to make the meeting successful. That's a part of the gospel meeting that I look forward to, is the time that we can get together and blend our voices in song. And I appreciate all those that have done their part in this gospel meeting effort this week. Galatians chapter 6, reading verses 1 through 10. The Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." This comes at the end of a very pointed letter to a group of churches in an area known as Galatia in modern-day Turkey, in that area of Asia Minor. The Apostle Paul writes to the churches there and gives them instructions as to how that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He does have the authority to speak on these matters. He deals with the subject of the old law has been superseded by the new covenant. He makes the point and makes it very clear that those that would try to return the law must be obedient to all of it, but it is an inferior law. It was to bring us to Jesus Christ. And now as Paul gives the blessings that are ours to enjoy through the gospel of Jesus Christ, he explains some responsibilities that go along with those blessings. We all recognize that with blessings comes a responsibility. There is a portion for us to do. I talked about in our Bible class Sunday morning, had mentioned that there were epistles that can be divided up in basically two parts. One half being doctrinal and the other part being practical. I think the book of Galatians is just one of those books. The first half of the epistle is dealing with doctrinal matters, but the second half of it deals with very practical matters. Things that we can learn from, things that we can apply in our lives. And I want to look with you tonight at that section, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. We want to look at it first from our responsibilities to our brethren. What does the Apostle Paul have to say to us regarding our brethren? First off, he tells us that we have the responsibility to restore those that have fallen off. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." We have the responsibility that if a person is overtaken in a fault, if they are caught by surprise, if they are engaged in something, they have encountered something that has taken them, We have a responsibility as those that are spiritual to restore our brethren. We have a responsibility to bear each other's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now the burden that is talked about here is the idea of the infirmities, the struggles that come in our life. We all have things happen to us. Get laid off from work. Kids get sick. We have hospital bills that pile up. There are burdens that are placed that are a part of just life itself. We have the responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other with those infirmities, with those struggles, with life as it happens to us. It's a responsibility that we have. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have the responsibility to share with those that have taught us. In verse 6, he says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Have you been the recipient of good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has someone told you the truth concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Have you been taught great Bible doctrine? It can start back in our Bible classes as young people sit and they listen to their Bible class teachers and they learn the stories of Noah and they learn the stories of David and Goliath. Nathan was here Sunday night before services. He's talking with the young people, asking them questions regarding various stories. Who was Jesus' father? Who was his mother? And what happened to David? Or what happened to Goliath? And how did David kill Goliath? He's sharing these things. He is teaching them. We have a responsibility that when someone is teaching us, that we communicate good to them, that we will do good to them that teach us these things. It is a responsibility that we have toward our brethren. Share with those who are teaching. But my question in this is, do we do these things? Do we know each other well enough to know when someone is burdened in their life? Do we have enough knowledge of our brothers and sisters in Christ to know that they are overtaken in a fault? Do we care enough for our brothers and sisters that we'll meet these responsibilities that we have toward our brethren? It might be said that this is one excellent reason of why we assemble ourselves together on a regular basis to help fulfill these responsibilities that we have one to another, to help carry the load, to bring someone back, and to share good things with those that have taught us the truth. The Apostle Paul also shows that we have a responsibility to ourselves. He says there in verse 1, and consider thyself. At the point in time that you are restoring someone, you need to think about yourself as well. You need to take notice so that you are not taken in that fault, lest thou also be tempted. We have a responsibility to think about ourselves, to consider ourselves. Isn't that kind of the point of the parable that Jesus talks about, the mote and the beam? The brother that comes to someone and says, hey, you've got a little speck in your eye. He's fulfilling that responsibility to his brother. You've got something wrong and I want to help you take care of it. But all the while, he's not considering himself because he's got a log sticking out of his own eye. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Brethren, we need to be aware of our own temptations. We need to be aware of our own shortcomings. We have a responsibility to consider ourselves. We also have a responsibility to test our works, to try them. Let every man prove his own work. Have you illustrated that you are standing up against the devil? That you are standing firm with the Word of God? We test our own works. We try them. We see if they stand up to the Word of God. If it stands up, then we can rejoice in that fact. I'll remind you of what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 5, where he says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Examine yourself. Take the Word of God. Compare it to your own life. It's kind of one of those open book tests. You remember those tests in school? You go through and you take a test. And the teacher said, "Okay, now you're going to grade your own paper." And she would call out the correct answer. And you would have to sit and mark off those ones that you got wrong. We can do that with our own lives. We can take the Word of God. We can compare it, because who knows us better than we do? We've had some fun this week. This is the short time that I've been here. Getting around between Tim and myself. People asking me for stories on him, and the recognition that I have that he's telling stories on me. Well, that's because we know each other pretty well. We lived with each other in the same room for all and up until when I was in middle school. But I guarantee you, I do not know Tim like Tim knows Tim. And Anna and Tim have been married probably as long or longer than what Tim and I lived together and in the same house. And there are husbands and wives here tonight that have been married longer than I've been alive. We thank God for that. But I know that one spouse who knows that other spouse very well, can read them like a book, you know, can know what they're thinking. They don't know them as well as they know themselves. So when we understand this responsibility that we have to ourselves, that we test our own works, that we examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith, who knows us better than ourselves? Who knows God better than the Spirit of God? The Scriptures make that clear. Who knows us better than ourselves, our own spirit? We have a responsibility to ourselves to test ourselves. Try our faith. See if it stands up. We also have the responsibility to bear our own burden. Now, the burden that is talked about here is our own responsibilities. It's the tasks. It's the load that has been given unto us. There are those that would take the Scriptures and they would turn very quickly to Galatians chapter 6 and says, "Well, I don't know that I need to believe much of what the Bible says, because the Bible doesn't even know what it's talking about." You look there in verse 1 where it says, "Bear you your one another's burdens." And then you look down 3 verses later in verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." See, the Bible doesn't know what he's talking about. Saying contradictory things. Let me see if I can illustrate this to you. This is the Scriptures from the Bible in basic English. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. "Take on yourselves one another's troubles, and so keep the law of Christ." Verse 5 is rendered, "Because every man is responsible for his own, for his part of the work." Does that sound contradictory? Not at all. That's illustrating to us, that is showing us, that the words that are used here in the King James, that are translated burden in both of them are not the same idea. There are two different aspects of how we live our lives here. One toward others, their troubles, their problems. When someone is having difficulties, we're there to help them. If that means that you have to leave out of worship services to go help your friend fix a flat tire or take care of themselves in some way, you're going to do that because you're helping them with that problem. But when it comes down to taking care of your own needs, it's your responsibility. You have your own burden to bear. It's your responsibility to do your part of the work. We don't expect that in teams, we don't expect the quarterback of a football team to do his job and the job of a kicker and the job of receiving. He's bearing his own burden. That's his part of the work. That is his responsibility. We have that responsibility toward ourselves to bear our own burdens. But then the question, are we willing to bear our own load? Are we willing to take personal responsibility for our own actions? It's our burden. It's our consequence. Are we willing to just basically suck it up and say, this is the load, this is my responsibility. I've got to bear it. It's the consequences that are the result of what I have done in my life. Am I willing to take this personal responsibility in my life? Are we willing to learn what God wants us to know so that we can compare our lives with the Word of God? Are we willing to do what He wants us to do? That's one thing about knowing the Word of God. It's another thing about doing it. See, we can know the Word of God and we can compare it to our lives and we say, yep, I come up short. What are you going to do about it? And again, this is one of those things why it's an excellent example of why we assemble together. We assemble together so that we can teach each other, so that we can learn the Word of God, so we can do our part in the kingdom of Christ. We can fulfill our role as a member of the body of Jesus Christ. There's also this law of harvest that is presented to us by the Apostle Paul. Things that are set in order. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I hesitate putting this list up, especially this early in gospel meetings, because then those that are going to maybe feed the preacher and his family later on, they're going to look at this list. These are just some things that this is just a list, and there is somewhat of an importance to it. The top of the list are things that I don't quite care for. I eat them, but I don't quite care for them. And then the things at the bottom are things that I really enjoy. These are things that I remember us planting in as a kid. These are things that we grew in the garden. And I put these things up to remind us that when you plant squash, what do you get? We get squash. And when you pull out a package of cantaloupe seed and you put them in the ground, do you expect that some few months later that you're going to have a crop of watermelon? No, you don't. Why is that? Because God's law of harvest stands firm. What was planted in the Garden of Eden, it was commanded for every seed to bring forth of its own kind. We understand that in the physical world. What I want us to see is that same law of harvest is true in the spiritual sense. When we look at Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand, if we recognize that God's law of harvest in the physical realm is true, and you plant cantaloupes, you're going to get cantaloupes, let's understand the same fact that if you plant fornication, you're not going to get the kingdom of heaven. You're going to get the kingdom of Satan. God's law of harvest stands firm, whether on this earth, in the physical realm, or in the spiritual realm. We go on to read in verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. What does Paul say about them? We understand the law of harvest, that what you plant, that's what you're going to reap. And that's what he says in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 6. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do we understand that? Do we practice that in our lives? More times than not, we probably act in such a way as think that we can sow to the flesh and reap life everlasting. If that is our mindset, I want you to go out and buy some tomato seeds, and I want you to plant them, and I want you to see what you get. If you get anything other than tomatoes, then you might have something to stand on that you can sow to the flesh and you can reap life everlasting. But I don't think there's one in this audience tonight that really thinks that we can plant tomato seeds and get anything but tomatoes. So why in the world do we think that we can sow to the flesh? We can have these type of characteristics in our lives. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, heresies, drunkenness. That we can commit adultery and fornication. We can practice these things in our lives and just be fine and dandy in God's sight. It ain't gonna happen. Why? Because God's law of harvest stands true. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You want life everlasting? What are you going to have to plant in your life? You're going to have to plant love. You're going to have to plant joy. You're going to have to plant the seed of peace in your heart. I don't know that I'd ever seen it illustrated quite like I had tonight. I've heard the story before of the fellow that walks into his house and just he's coming home from work, and just before he gets into his house, he takes and does this and then walks into his house. Someone asked him, said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm taking all the things from work and I'm hanging them on this tree out here because I don't want to bring those into my house." I'm sitting at the dinner table tonight, and Tim was asked to just do this. I didn't get it at first. Let it go. We've got to have that kind of attitude. We can't harbor things in our hearts. We can't have those hatred and the envyings in our lives. We have to have goodness and meekness and temperance. That's patience. That's letting some things go in our lives. We want to reap life everlasting. We have to sow to the Spirit. And we know the fruits of the Spirit. Now, what I want us to understand at the end of this is that Paul gives us the end results of everything. When we understand the previous thoughts and we understand that those ideas are true and righteous, that they can't be argued against, that we have a responsibility toward our brethren and that we have a responsibility toward ourselves, and that God's law of harvest stands firm, well, what's the result then? The result is that we need not be weary in well-doing. We shouldn't give up. Paul tells the Thessalonian brethren in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary. Do not reap. Do not grow weary because you're going to reap in due season. Don't give up on those seeds of the Spirit." We might not get anything noticeable out of it in this life. But don't forget, God's law of harvest stands true. And if we plant those seeds of the Spirit, we shall reap. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How many farmers do we know that go out and plant a crop? And then 3 weeks later they go out and they look and say, "Oh, nothing's there. I'll just clean it all out." That's not what they do. They go out and they plant the seed and they water it and they cultivate it and they hoe it and then you hoe corn and you hoe corn. Day after day you do the same thing. Why? Because you know in due season, at the right time, friends, it might not be here in this life. We might not see the result of us sowing to the Spirit here upon this earth. We might not. But we will reap in due season. We will have everlasting life. We just can't give up. We can't be weary and well-doing. We can't look at it and say, "You know what? I've planted that. And I've been patient. I've been long-suffering. And oh, have I been long-suffering. And I've done it for years now. And I just can't give up." You got to keep on keeping on. That's what patience is all about. We will reap in due season. Don't give up. It might not be easy here. We can't give up. Keep doing the work. He tells us there in verse 10 to do good to all men, especially to the brethren. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." We do good to those who are in need. We do good to those who are our enemies. Do good unto all men. That's not do good unto most men. That's not do good unto some men. That's do good unto all men. Everybody that we come in contact with, we are to have a disposition. We are to do good to them. And especially to our brethren, we do that as we have opportunity. And we recognize that opportunity is determined by circumstances and by ability. By circumstances and ability. Let me illustrate this with hurricane or tornado victims. We may very well have the ability to help them. If we don't know about it, we don't know about the circumstances, we don't have the opportunity. It might be that we know about their needs, and we don't have the ability. Don't go to the point of using that as a crutch. Say that we can't help because we just don't have. Remember the people in the Bible that gave of themselves first. But even if it does come down, and we can honestly say, we don't have the ability, well, then you don't have the opportunity. But more times than not, we both know about it and can do something. And friends, that means we have the opportunity. And as we have the opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, especially unto our brethren, those who are our family, because we recognize that kindness to them is doing things to Christ. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, when you have fed them and you have given them to drink and you have clothed them, when you have taken care of their needs, you are taking care of Jesus Christ Himself. How much do you think would get done if that was forefront in our mind? What I'm doing in helping this one out, helping my brother in Christ, when I'm helping him, that I'm not just helping him, that I'm helping Jesus Christ. How much do you think we get done? We got to have that mindset. We have to understand that. John writes, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 following. John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we might that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. How do we show our love to God? We show our love to God by showing our love toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. How much would get done if we would just put in our minds that I'm doing this because I love God and because God loved me. How much did God love us? He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son. He loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He died in an excruciating death. Endured the pain and the suffering of this physical body. He endured the emotional anguish. Why? Because of love. And we don't want to have our pocketbooks hurting at times. We don't want to get involved at times. We have a responsibility to our brethren, to ourselves. Hope that we can fully appreciate this text. We ask ourselves, are we helping others as has been directed here by the Apostle Paul? Are we fulfilling our own tasks? Are we fulfilling our own obligations and duties to our brethren and to Jesus Christ? Problem that some would take this passage and they would look at Galatians chapter 6 at verse 10 and say that this is what a congregation of God's people can do. They would turn this passage around and say this is what the church does as a collective body. We do good unto all men. Does the congregation have the responsibility toward other congregations? Or is it we have a responsibility to our brethren? Does the congregation have a responsibility for itself? Or is Paul describing our own responsibility to ourselves? We can see inside Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, that this is individual action. This is my responsibility toward my brethren, and this is my responsibility toward myself, and it is what I sow that I will reap. We can't change it when we get all of a sudden magically to verse 10 and say, well, then that's all of us together. Plain and simple fact is that we have a responsibility here upon this earth. Are we fulfilling those responsibilities? Are we meeting those tasks that have been laid down before us? Are we sowing the seed of kingdom of Jesus Christ? There may be one in this audience this evening that has not taken upon them the blood of Jesus Christ. It has not let His blood cleanse them of their sins. You're in a state where you are still sowing to the flesh because you have not been born of the Spirit. If you are willing tonight to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, you can be baptized. You can have your sins washed away. Born of the Spirit. You can begin living your life. Sowing the seed of the Spirit. Beginning living a life as a child of God with the inheritance of heaven. If you haven't done that, you are not His child. You are still a child of the devil. And we don't want that to take place. We want you to be a part of God's great family. Why don't you let your desire be made known? Let us help you complete your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's one here tonight that recognizes that they've been sowing to the flesh. And thinking that they can reap life everlasting. It will not happen. Just as surely as if you plant tomato seeds, you're not going to get anything else. So to the Spirit, you shall reap life everlasting. Make the necessary changes in your life so that you can be in a right relationship with God Almighty. Let the blood of Christ again cleanse you of your sins by repenting of those wrongs. Be of a public nature, make the public confession. Why don't you let your desire be made known as we stand and sing to encourage you?